الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. After making it clear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ O Allah, we worship none other than you. You alone, you are our object of worship. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ And our help also when we seek help, it is only for you. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us a dua that He makes us say and He makes us acknowledge that He alone deserves to be worshipped and He alone deserves to be sought from help. Help that is sought and is only sought from Allah. When we understand the concept of ibadat and isti'anat, ibadat is to worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the concept of isti'anat is that if we have to seek help from anyone, in whatever manner the help may be, we seek help only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah makes talqeen and He teaches us that we should say and we should beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ O Allah, guide us. اِهْدِنَا, guide us. الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ On the straight path. And this is the most powerful dua of the Holy Quran. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us that whenever we recite Surah Al-Fatiha as part of our salat, the Surah Al-Fatiha that we are reciting, which has this dua in it, it must be such that it is read in every rakat of our salat. So much so that even the first salat, when we are asked only to recite qiraat in the two first rakat. For example, in a four fard salat like Isha, or four fard salat of Asr, or salat of Dhuhr, only in the first two rakat we have to recite qiraat. Surah Fatiha joined with another surah. And in the last two rakats, third and fourth, we only recite Suratul Fatiha. So which means that we are not allowed to recite any qiraat, any surah or recitation in the third and fourth rakat. If we do it, we will have to make two extra sajda because we have made a mistake in our salat. However, Allah says Suratul Fatiha must be recited. It must be recited in every rakat, the third and fourth also, because of the great dua in Surah Al-Fatiha. And this is the dua: O Allah, guide us on the straight path. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Yani, O Allah, ثبت أقدامنا, keep our feet firm on the right path, on the straight path. What is the straight path? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in many different verses of the Holy Quran that Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path, is the path wherein there lies no crookedness. There is no crookedness, la iwaja, there is no crookedness in that path. It is the path of the true religion. It is the path, as many of the mufassirin have given, Sirat al-Mustaqim, ay, huwa al-Islam, it is Islam. The straight path, the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Sirat al-Mustaqim is such a path wherein there is no ifrat and there is no tafrit. Ifrat means to transgress the limits that Allah has set. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has set certain limits in Sharia that you can do this, but you cannot pass beyond it. This is the furthest you can go. To cross those borders and go beyond that is called ifrat. And also tafrit. Tafrit means to fall short of that which is supposed to be done. So the straight path is that path in which there is no ifrat. There is no crossing the borders. And also there is no shortcoming in it. But it is exactly the way and the manner which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us. And that is called the straight path. An explanation of the straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah, the straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path, when Isa alayhi salam described the straight path to his people, he says that Allah is my Rabb and your Rabb. Huwa Rabbi wa Rabbukum. He is my Lord and your Lord. Fa'budu, worship him. Worship Allah. And then at the end he say, Haza siratun mustaqima. This is the siratun mustaqim. This is the straight path. So what is the concept of the straight path? The straight path is the path where we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our creator, as our Lord, our nourisher, our sustainer. And then our ibadat is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bas. And that is Islam. And that is the mafhum of every deen that came on the face of the earth. And that is the objective and the requirement of every religion, of Musa alayhi salam, of Isa alayhi salam, that we accept Allah as our Rabb and our entire ibadat, whether they are ibadat, our ibadat that are connected to our wealth or our bodies, or connected both to our wealth and our bodies. All these ibadat, as Imam Ghazali has said, that there are 10 different types of ibadat, that all the ibadat, it is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it means, if we are fulfilling the rights of our neighbors, then that is an act of ibadat, but that is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we do not fulfill the rights, so that the neighbor will say, this man is a generous man, and I have a good neighbor, and I have a this neighbor, and I have a that neighbor. But that is also an act of ibadat, and that act of ibadat is, Iyaka na'budu, O Allah, only you will worship, which means every act of ours is only done, these acts are only done for you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Isa alayhi salam described what is Sirat al-Mustaqim when he said, Allah is my Rabb and your Rabbas. The very first principle that Allah mentioned in the Quran, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Isa describes that Sirat al-Mustaqim. Then he says, Fa'budu, then you worship him. But this is the Sirat al-Mustaqim, that is the straight path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this for the human beings to recite to him. So first of all, he says to us that you say this, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, guide us on the right path, guide us on the straight path. And then he asks us also to tell him which path we want. Many people may claim to have the right path, each and every sect, each and every deen, each and every religion. But here beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines the right path. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Allah describes the straight path with a very full description, which is an inclusive description, meaning that it's such a definition of the right path that after defining it, there is no doubt about the right path again. And a description and a definition can only be said to be completed when it contains two things. Ithbat and nafi. Ithbat means to make something evident. And nafi means to negate something. And even in the very first principle of Islam, which is called kalimatun tayyiba, the pure kalima, there is ithbat and nafi. Look at what we say to Allah. what a man must say to become a believer, La ilaha illallah. Isbat and nafi, negation and establishment. The very first thing we do is to say, La ilaha, oh Allah, there is no one. We are negating every single thing. We negate it. We clear every single thing. And then we say, Illallah, oh Allah, but only you. Therefore, all our kalima is complete and perfect because it has the two things. Because it is possible that a man, like the mushrikeen, they believe in Allah, but with Allah, you believe in other things. The pagans believed in Allah, but they believe that there are other things. And so, the Christians believe in Allah, but believe with Him, there are other beings that shares His divinity. So when we negate everything, that is the root of Tawheed. La ilaha, there is nothing. There is no son of the God of the sun or the moon or the rivers or the animals or whatever it is. But illallahu, except you, O Allah. So here also, there is isbat and nafi, establishment. So we establish Allah, there is one, and we negate everything besides Allah. So there is isbat here. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. What is the sirat al-mustaqim? The sirat al-mustaqim is that path, the path of those people upon whom Allah's favors came. That is the sirat al-mustaqim. A very beautiful piece of balagha and eloquence, how Allah uses it in the Quran. Let's look at it. Allah is commanding us and He has revealed it. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, the path of those people upon whom your favors came. That is the path which is considered to be صراط المستقيم. And who are those people who are considered to be منعم عليه? Who are those people upon whom Allah's favors came? Because we ask Him, Allah, oh Allah, there are many paths. And three paths are mentioned in this ayah here. Three paths. The path of those people who have been favored. The path of those people who gain Allah's curse and wrath. And those people, the path of those people who were misguided. Among the three paths, we are saying to Allah, oh Allah, we don't want the third one. We don't want the second one, but we need the first one. And which? Who are the favored ones? Who are the favored ones? A man can look in a society, a man during the time of Fir'aun could look at Fir'aun with a mighty kingdom and mighty empire and say, oh, God has really blessed you, Fir'aun. And believe that he was on haq. And this is what the people used to say, the pagans and the mushrikeen from aforetime, they used to say, if we worship in any other thing, if we worship in anything that is false, then everything we had would have been destroyed. Then why are we getting prosperity in our farms? And why are we becoming wealthy? The reason we are becoming wealthy is seeing that our gods, they are the true gods and they are helping us. So because they reap benefits in this world and still they associated partners with Allah, they thought that this was the right path. They thought that these were favors. So they may think that they are mun'am alayhim. They are the favored ones. Allah says no. Who are the favored ones? In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives four categories of people who are considered to be the favored ones by Allah. Allah Himself has revealed it. Four categories of people who are considered to be mun'am alayhim. And there is no fifth category in that. Allah says, الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ. The favored ones. They are those people upon whom Allah's favor came. From among the Nabiyeen, first category. وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ, second number. The Siddiqeen, the truthful people. والشهداء, the martyrs. والصالحين, the righteous men. Four categories of the favored people. Four categories Allah has mentioned in the Quran. One, the first darja, the first state of the mun'am alayhi,
They are the anbiya of Allah. They are the ones who are favored. Even though they have nothing to eat, even though they live in the eyes of men like vagrants, na'uzubillah, even though they didn't have anything to drink and a place to rest, Allah considers them as the first type of people who got his favors. So it makes us wonder, what is really considered to be favors? When our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed days without food to eat, when he had to tie stones in his belly for days, when many days he will go into the house, he will say, "Oh Aisha, is there anything to eat?" Aisha will say, "There is nothing." He will say, "Fa'ivan asum." Then if that is the case, "I am fasting, O Aisha." Aisha will say, "For days the fire will not be kindled in the house of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." But Allah mentions the Anbiya as the first category of people who are favored by him. They are favored by him. Al-Munam alayhi, the first category, Al-Nabiyin. Second category, Was-Siddiqeen. Siddiqeen, those who are truthful to Allah, they are also the Mun'am alayhi, people who have received the favors of Allah. And who is the Sayyid al-Siddiqeen? Who is the leader of the Siddiqeen? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and the leader of the Siddiqeen. Allah says the third category, Was-Shuhada. Those people who have given their life for the sake of Allah, and given their blood, and they died for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upholding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Was-Salihin, and the righteous people. Four categories, there are no fifth category. There is no fifth category. So which means, therefore, that if you and I want to know, and if we want to know what is the straight path that we are asking Allah for, then it is the path of the four category of people Allah has mentioned here. Look at the path of the Anbiya's, that is Sirat al-Mustaqim. Look at the path of the Siddiqeen and the truthful people, that is the path of Sirat al-Mustaqim. Look at the path of the Shuhada, that is the path which is called Sirat al-Mustaqim. Look at the path of the Salihin, the righteous, the pious, the need, the good people. They are the Salihin, they are the people with the Sirat al-Mustaqim. It was easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, which was very short, "Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim." When we ask, "Oh Allah, guide us on the right path," for Allah to say, "Sirat al-Qur'ani," or anything to that meaning, that the straight path is the path of the Holy Qur'an, and the straight path is the path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us such an ayah here, which shows us that hidayat and guidance is not only confined in one thing, but in hidayat, it includes also the lives of people. In hidayat, the lives of people. So the Quran is the practical book. The life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes side by side with it. Side by side. We want to understand the Quran. We understand it from the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his noble companions also. Because to speak about Sirat al-Mustaqim, Allah included the Mun'am alayhi, people who were favored, and by indicating to the favored ones, he says, "This is the straight path." He indicated towards what? The favored ones, and said, "This is the straight path." And the favored ones were four different categories of people. So if we want to know what is the straight path, we look at the lives of the Anbiya's, the Siddiqeen, the Martyrs, and the Salihin, and the righteous people. There we will find the straight path. Four categories of people. So it is the path of those people upon whom Allah's favors came. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Not the path of those people upon whom the wrath, the anger of Allah descended, nor the path of those people who were led astray. This is what Sirat al-Mustaqim is not. This is the negation now. Allah establishes ithbat. What is Sirat al-Mustaqim? Allah says, "Alladhina an'amta alayhim." Sirat al-Mustaqim is the path of the people who have been favored. What it is not this other path. And two categories of people are mentioned in this. So this is the Nafi, negating a section of people from the right path, negating two sections of people, in other words, from the straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, telling us that you must not ask for the path of Maghrub and the path of Balim. In fact, you should constantly say, oh Allah, I want this path, I do not want that path. The Mufassirin have mentioned, what is meant by Maghrub? Those people upon whom the wrath of Allah came. They have mentioned that Maghrub alayhim refers to those people who after having the knowledge and achieving the knowledge of the Ahkam of Allah, after gaining the knowledge of the laws of Allah, the guidance they got due to their mischievous deeds, they opposed it. They got it, they understood it, but opposed it. Dalim means misguided. And Dalim, the misguided one, refers to those people who they disputed, they lack knowledge about, they lack complete knowledge about their deen, and because of the lack of knowledge they had in their deen, they opened another path. This is who Dalim refers to. The tafsir of the Holy Quran, the Mufassirin have mentioned in the tafsir, in the tafasir, in many of the tafsir, on the authority of many different companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Maghdubi, and he recited this verse, he says hum al-Yahud, they are the Jews, those people upon whom the wrath and the anger of Allah came, they are the Jews. Wal al-Dhaleen, and those people who are misguided, the Prophet says hum Nasara, they are the Christians. They are the Christians. And how perfect does this explanation of Maghdubi and Dalim fit into what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained? Remember, the Mufassirin have mentioned that Maghdubi, those people, yani, upon whom the ghadab of Allah came, they are the Jews. And this is substantiated by different ayats of the Holy Quran. For in another verse about the Jews, Allah says, مَلَّعَنَهُ وَغَضِبَ عَلَيْهِ, they are those people upon whom Allah's ghadab came and Allah's curse came. So they are Maghdub, Allah's anger and wrath came. And about the Nasara, Allah says in another part of the Quran, قَضَلُّوا مِنْ قَبَلُ, they were misguided from even before. وَأَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا, and they misguided many people. وَضَلُّوا عَنْ سَوَاءِ السَّبِيلِ, and they were lost from the straight path. Let's look at the explanation now and how it fits the both parties. So Maghdubi alayhim, those people upon whom Allah's anger came, they are the Jews, of the wrath of Allah came. And those people who are considered to be Dhaleen and misguided, they are the Christians, according to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, hum al-Yahud, وَالْضَالِينَ هُمْ النَّصَارَى, they are the Christians. Now what did we say about Maghdub? Maghdub refers to those people upon whom Allah's wrath comes, they are those people who after having knowledge of the ahkam of the religion, they opposed it. And when you look at the Jews, you will realize they had complete knowledge of the Torah. They had complete knowledge of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had complete knowledge of the laws that Musa alayhi salam gave. Because prophets upon prophets came to them. They had perfect knowledge. So much so that it was even evident at the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where many of them recognized that he was Nabi al-Haq, the true prophet. But because of that, their enmity against the Prophet in their hearts, they did not believe in him. The Holy Quran says, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبَنَاءَهُمْ.
They recognize him even more than they recognize their own children.
Abdullah bin Salam, the great Jewish scholar who accepted Islam,
he was among the greatest leaders of the Jews and the greatest Jewish scholar at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "O Prophet of Allah, I may have doubts concerning my own son. I may have doubt. It's possible my wife could have lied to me. I may have doubts concerning my own son, but I will never have doubt concerning you as the last Nabi of Allah, Prophet of Allah." He made that clear. He himself said, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about on the migration, he was about to enter Medina, and the Muslims will come to the hills of Mount Faran every day and look down to see who is coming and when he is coming. Abdullah bin Salam used to also go, and he will look, and every day they will look, and at sunset they will turn back in sadness and sorrow that the Prophet did not arrive sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one day while they were going away, Abdullah bin Salam, still yet a Jew, he saw two people coming. They resembled each other. They were small the same way. He could not recognize who is who. But when he looked up, he saw a part of the cloud sheltering one person. He said, "This must be the Prophet. This must be the Prophet." And when he came closer and closer, Abdullah bin Salam shouted to the Muslims, he says, "The person you have been waiting for, he has arrived." And that is the time all of them run. But what Abdullah bin Salam said, and he said that at the time when he was still a Jew, he says, فَلَمَّا رَعَيْتُ وَجْهَهُ أَرَفْتَ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهٍ كَذَّابٍ. When I looked at the face of Muhammad, I immediately realized it could never be the face of a false man. Allahu Akbar. That light, that nuraniyat, the athar and effects of revelation and prophethood was shining from his face. He says, I immediately realized he could never be, it could never be the face of a false person. لَيْسَ بِوَجْهٍ كَذَابًا. So the Jews understood the religion of Allah that he has sent through Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam, but they went against it. So the wrath of Allah will come upon a person when they know it and they go against it. That is when Allah's anger come upon a person. You know it and you went against it. So they knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be worshipped. They saw the miracles of Allah coming in front of them in Manna and Sarwa, in the parting of the Red Sea, but they still made a golden calf to worship. They still killed the Anbiya's, although they knew very well. So they knew and they opposed. So they are maghdubi alayhim. They received the anger of Allah. What about the dhalim? The dhalim, misguided people. The Christians did not have complete and perfect knowledge of the religion of Isa alayhi salam. They did not. They did not have it. Why? Because Isa alayhi salam went back to Allah at a time when his mission was yet to be completed. He was in the midst of his mission when this affair came over him and the people wanted to kill him and they wanted to crucify him, and he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that very moment Allah took him bodily into heaven. His mission was not completed. Because for his entire life he lived in such a manner that he had no home of himself. He was constantly persecuted by the people and very little people accepted him. And after he left the world and he went back to Allah, when Allah took him bodily, all his companions were persecuted and they were killed. Then the true teachings of his deen was not established. It was not established. So because of the lack of knowledge, they chose their own path. They chose their own path because of lack of perfect understanding of the deen of Isa alayhi salam. So therefore, according to Christian theology, the history of Christianity shows us, authentic history from the books of Christian theology shows us that it was only in the first century after Isa alayhi salam went back to Allah, the Old Testament was canon. What does it mean? Only after the first century after Isa alayhi salam went back, they came together and decided what the Old Testament will be. Canon. Isa alayhi salam, according to them, it was in 33 AD. 33, that is at the time of Christ. You had BC at the birth of Christ, we check it from that time. So 33 AD. 1 century after that. In the 2nd century, it's the 2nd century. Isa alayhi salam went back so long, and now in the 2nd century you are now deciding what Isa was. In the 3rd century, they met again to decide that he was the son. The 2nd century, they decided that he shared the divinity of Allah. He shared the divinity. That's the 2nd century. In the 3rd century, they decided that God had a son, and this son was Isa. So there are two different things. So therefore, the first thing they established, that Isa shared part of the divinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in the 3rd century, after the departure of Isa alayhi salam, they decided that he was now the son. He was now the son. And in the 4th century, they decided the Godhead was yet to be completed, so the Holy Ghost was made as part of the tree that constitutes the Trinity in Christian theology. In the 4th century. And it was in the 4th century the Gospels were decided to be part of the Bible. And why? It is so because Isa alayhi salam's disciples, they all died and they went back to Allah in persecution. There were only a few. When he died, there were only 12 disciples, you know, according to history. And they were all persecuted. In fact, Peter was persecuted so much, and he was jailed many times. At that time, the people, the rule of the Byzantine Empire and the Constantine Empire, they hated Christianity much. In fact, Paul was a person who persecuted the Christians in the worst manner. He belonged to the Church of St. Hadrian, and they were the highest order of the Jewish people, and he persecuted them very much. And it was late in his life, it is mentioned that when he was walking, he stumbled upon a cross, and he heard a voice saying, "Why do you persecute my disciples?" And he became a Christian at that time. But when he became a Christian, that is where Christianity was split into 2 pieces. Because according to Peter, who was a disciple of Isa alayhi salam, he believed that Christianity and the religion of Isa alayhi salam was a continuation of Judaism, the religion of Musa alayhi salam. He believed that. And Isa alayhi salam himself said it when he said to his disciples, "Think not that I have come to abolish the laws, but I have come to confirm the laws." The laws that preceded him, which was the law, were the laws of Musa alayhi salam. And all religions are tied in together. Like Islam is tied in with the religion of Isa alayhi salam, with the religion of Musa alayhi salam, with the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is why Allah says very clear in the Quran, "Islam is millat abikum Ibrahim." It is the millat and the deen of your father Ibrahim alayhi salam. It's the separate deen. And this is why the Quran again and again will say, Allah will say, "We have revealed this Quran musaddiqun lima bayna yaday," which confirms that which is before the Prophet, the Torah and the Injil. So the disciples were killed. Paul thought that it is a new religion against Judaism. So every single thing he said in Judaism, in Christianity, was totally opposing to Judaism, while Peter confirmed what was in Judaism. A practical example is that which Peter held on to: pork, swine. Swine was haram. It is prohibited in Judaism, and slaughter, it is prohibited in Christianity, because the religion of Isa is a continuation. Paul said, "No, it is not like that." And because of that, there was a big fight. And that was the beginning of the 2 churches, the East and the West Church. You had the East Orthodox Church, those people, and it is from this time where you had the division between the Catholics and the Protestants. The Catholics come from a Latin word, Catholics, which means universal. They believe, they are here, they have their universal religion. But the Protestants were the reformers, those people who thought that they are here to reform. Anyhow, it is all to explain that they were barely because they lacked the perfect understanding of their being, so they were lost. And when they became lost, they grabbed onto a new path. And that new path was to attribute divinity to Isa alayhi salam when it did not belong to him. It is to attribute divinity to Maryam alayhi salam when it did not belong to her. It is to attribute sonship to Isa alayhi salam when it did not belong. Because they were lost. This is why the Quran says, Kavvalu, they were misguided even from before. They were lost from the straight path. Isa alayhi salam went up. They were in the midst of nothing. The Romans were against them because the Romans were out, just as he was the person who made the decision to kill Isa alayhi salam. The Roman Empire, the empire at that time. So they were out for a lot of persecution. So they were persecuted tremendously. And the Gospels, the first of the Gospels that were written, were not really Gospels, but they were letters written by St. Paul when he accepted Christianity and he established churches and he journeyed from Rome to Jerusalem to Spain and to all these places, and he wrote letters to his churches. And the first set of letters he wrote was the letter to the Colossians, and that, the first set of letters, became part of the Bible. However, Paul made it very clear in the Bible. He says, I do not say that the Lord said, I say Paul said. And those letters, the epistles, you have Revelations, you have Colossians, all these have become part of the Bible, which has to be a guide for the Christians today. And it is because of these facts, of late the Archbishop of Canterbury, England, Dr. Scudgie, he made it very clear. He said, no Christian today can claim that they have divine revelations. They are all letters written and second-hand knowledge written by people who have no knowledge of the divine revelation. So we believe that something which was called Injil was revealed to Isa alayhi salam, which was an oral recitation just like the Quran. None of the disciples learned it out, and it was never transmitted. So they died out, and the Injil never remained. Injil is not the Arabic name for the Bible. Injil is not the Arabic name for the Gospels. Injil is not the Arabic name for the New Testament. Injil is the revelation of Allah sent to Isa alayhi salam. Bas. What you have is a narration of eyewitnesses and historians about the life, the mission, and the roots of Isa alayhi salam. Similarly, the Torah is not a translation of the Old Testament. So we believe that these were revelations given, the words of Allah as the Quran. Hadith is not the Quran. No one can read the Hadith and say it is the Quran. There is a big difference. This is divine revelation. That is narrations by people who lived with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is all about the explanation of why the Christians are called Dhalin, because they never had the right knowledge. They never had the great knowledge. So when a person lacks complete knowledge, then Allah's wrath will not descend, because it's not that they know and they went against it. Understand it. If you did not have the correct knowledge and you did something wrong, you may get the sin for not finding out, but Allah's wrath will not come, because it will come when you know and you did not do it. And those people who knew and they opposed it were the Jews. So the wrath of Allah came. And those people who did not know, and they choose another path, they are the Christians. So Allah considered them as dhalim, misguided. They are lost from the straight path. So what we see in negating two of these sections of people, we arrive at the conclusion of what Sirat Mustaqim is. They were those people who possess knowledge but no amal. They possess the knowledge of the Torah, but there was no practice on the Torah. Misguided people, the Christians, they possess practice but no knowledge. So the practice, they practice a lot. This is why they held on to their practices so much that many of them give their entire life for the sake of Allah and became monks and nuns. In their religion, that is a great form of ibadat. That they have dedicated their life to monkhood and to living in the monastery. Now, that is not an easy thing. How difficult sometimes it's for a man to make 10 days in the i'tikaf. But they are in the i'tikaf for their entire life. Now, the point is not about whether it's right or wrong. We know in Islam did not make that a part of Islam. But you are looking at the effort they will go to. How far they will go to uphold the teachings of their religion. That they are ready to give their life for the sake of their Creator. So they have action. They want to do it. Night and day they will praise and they will sing the hymns of their Lord. They believe. So they have action but lack knowledge. So while the Jews, they lack their practice and have knowledge, they were condemned. And they were given the title of Maghdubi Alayhim in the sight of Allah. And the Christians practice but do not have complete understanding and knowledge, and they were given the title of Dhalim. So the conclusion we arrive at, the Sirat Mustaqim is the path that has ilm and amal. Allahu Akbar. That is Sirat Mustaqim. You have perfect knowledge and understanding, but it goes with your practice. So if we have knowledge and we go against it, it might just belong to Jews. And if we practice and we don't have perfect knowledge, we might just be led astray. Led astray like the Christians. Thinking that this is halal where it is haram. Thinking that this is haram where it is in reality halal. Knowledge and practice comes together, and that is Sirat Mustaqim. That is the straight path. And this is the dua which we have learned and Allah has taught us. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this as part of Surah Al-Fatiha, and among the many surahs of the Holy Quran, He has commanded us to recite this again and again in our salah. You know, look at the beauty of Surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Surah Al-Ikhlas. In authentic hadith, it is mentioned that Surah Al-Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, is equal in virtues of Thuluthul Quran, one third of the Quran, in virtues. So, if a person recites Qul Huwallahu Ahad three times in virtues, he may, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, receive the rewards of a complete Quran, because three one-thirds. Now, there is a big difference between something which is called haqiqatan, you know, which is reality, and that which is just a similarity. You see, if a man recites the Quran from Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen and Surah Nas, or the Surah Nas, every day he devotes half an hour and he finishes, and a man reads Qul Huwallahu Ahad three times, you can't say both of them will get the same blessings. So Allah says the blessings of Qul Huwallahu Ahad is like that, it's similar. But reality is different, that if a man recites the whole Quran four, he will get much more blessings. He will get much more blessings. But even though Surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad is so great, Allah could have asked us to recite it in every rakat, because we will get so much blessings. In fact, one Sahabi, while he was leading Salat, anytime he leads Salat, he said, Qul Huwallahu Ahad. So the other companions came to the Messenger of Allah and complained, this person is only willing to Allah, only kul Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him and he says, don't you know any other surah? He says, yes, I know other surah, walakin uhibbu hadhihi surah, but I love this surah very much. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him a very beautiful thing. He says, hubbaka hadhihi tudkhuluka fil jannah. Your love for this surah will take you to Jannah, inshaAllah. You love it because of the topics of discussion, because it speaks about Allah's unity in its greatest form. Allah's oneness in the greatest form. Tawheed in its greatest form. This is why it equals to one third. Because Tawheed is one third of the ilm that is expounded in the Quran, Tawheed. The other third is Risalat. And the other third is Ahwal al-Yawm al-Qiyamah wa ma'daha, knowledge of that which is coming. The incidents of the past, the future, sorry. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, as the Mufassirin have mentioned, the reason why we are commanded to recite this with this dua every single day in every single rakat is because there is not a minute of our life will pass except that we do not need hidayah from Allah. Every moment of our lives we need guidance, hidayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many ways. If we have it, we need to remain firm on it. Because there are many people who will be on the right path, but then they will just move from the right path and they will go astray. So because hidayah is so important in our life, that we need it every second and every minute of our lives, the order is there. Read it throughout your lives. Every minute of the day in your salat, your five times salat, in every rakat, you must recite it. Because that is something which we cannot do without. Not even a layman, nor the greatest prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do without it. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this dua, which is called the greatest dua of the Quran. And as one great Arab poet says, he says, وَلَوْ لَمْ تُرِدْ نَيْلَ مَا نَرْجُ وَنَطْلِبُهُ مَا عَلِمْتَ مِنْ فَيْضِ جُودِكَ مَا عَلِمْتَ نَطَلَبَ. Oh Allah, if you did not plan to give us what we want, you would have never taught us to ask from you. So, oh Allah, the fact that you are teaching us to ask this from you, it means, oh Allah, you want to give it to us. You want to give it to us. This is why you are telling us to ask you, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, throughout our entire lives. Surat al-Fatiha, as I mentioned in the beginning, that there are many different names that are given to you. In the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and different narrations of the Sahabas, approximately 20 names have been taken out for Surat al-Fatiha. 20 names. For example, it is called Fatiha because it is the opening. It is also called Fatiha al-Kitab. So one, it is Fatiha, an opening. But the other name is Fatiha al-Kitab, the opening of the book. It is also called Umm al-Quran, the mother of the book, the source of the book, the foundation of the book. As I explained before, many of the Mufassirin have stated, it's like a fahris and a condense for the entire Quran. It is also called Surah al-Kanz, the Surah of Treasures. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Surah al-Fatiha, Kanzun min taht al-Arsh. It is from a treasure beneath the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. A treasure. So it is called Surah al-Kanz. It is called Surah al-Kafiya. Al-Kafiya. Kafiya from the word kafa, which means to suffice. So it is the surah which is sufficient. Because of the greatness of the surah, it suffices for us. It is also called Surah al-Wafiya. Al-Wafiya means it is complete. What it means? It means with Surah al-Fatiha, your salat becomes complete. Without Surah al-Fatiha, your salat remains incomplete. It remains incomplete. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, emphasizing on Surah al-Fatiha. He says, La salata illa bi fatiha al-kitabi. Salat is not complete except with the recitation of Surah al-Fatiha. It must be there. It is also called Surah al-Shafiya because it is narrated that this is a surah that will intercede also on the Day of Judgment. It is called Surah al-Shifa
the surah of cures, because evident in the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim and Tirmidhi that it is the surah that if you recite it, it is a cure of in kulli da'in, it is a cure for every disease. And also in another hadith further than that, it goes even further to the extent to say shifa'un min kulli sammin, it is a cure for every poison, a cure for every poison. And it is mentioned in authentic narration where the Sahabi, when they went to a village close to the river, and when they went there, there was a leader of the other tribe, of a tribe of the people there, who was bitten by a snake. And he came and he asked, is there anyone who knows about anything to recite? I have been bitten by a snake. And one Sahabi went and recited Surah Al-Fatiha, and he applied the saliva, and thus the poison, everything was gone. And when he came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, how do you know that this is the surah you must recite? He says, the Prophet of Allah, haven't you informed us that it's shifa'un min kulli sammin, it is a cure for all poison and all disease. So I recited it, the man was cured. So this is why it is called Surah al-Shifa. It is also called Surah al-Nur, a surah of light, a surah of light. It is also called Sab' al-Mathani. I explained the seven repeated verses, and there are two interpretations for calling it Sab' al-Mathani, the seven repeated verses. One, because of the fact that it is repeated in Salah, and the other reason is because it was recited, it was according to the Mufassirin, at once, even twice. Once in Makkah and once in Medina. It is called Ruqiyya, Surah Ruqiyya. Ruqiyya means an incantation. What does an incantation mean? Something that you read and you do. Because of the same hadith, when the person came, he says, هَلْ أَنَا دُمُنْكُمْ تَعْرِفُ رُقِيَّةً. Is there anyone amongst you who knows Ruqiyya? Means you know something to read and do. This is why. And he read Surah Al-Fatiha and he blew on the person, and the person was cured. So this is why it is called Surah Ruqiyya. It is also called Surah Al-Hamd wa Surah Al-Shukr. It is the Surah of praises. It is the Surah of thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also called Surah Al-Dua, because it has the greatest dua of the Holy Quran. So it is the Surah of Dua. It is called Surah Al-Ta'aleem, the Surah to teach us how we must ask. Because in this very Surah, look at the way the Surah is given. At the end of the Surah, Allah teaches us a powerful dua to ask. But how is the system of that dua? First of all, we praise and we glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any one of our dua. In any one of our dua, first, we praise and we glorify Allah. And we give hamd and sana and thanks to Allah. And afterwards, we establish Allah to be the sole person who we can take help from. And we say, oh Allah, you are the only one we can get help from, because you are the only one we worship and we know you can give us help. Because, in all fairness, if we were to tell Allah that you can give us and so can give us, will Allah accept that dua? Allah will say, well, if so and so can give you, well, go to him. So we establish that to Allah. And then at the end, when we have established that, we say to Allah, oh Allah, this is what we need. And we place our asking at the end. So it is Surah Al-Ta'aleem. It teaches us how to ask from Allah. It is called Surah Al-Munajat. Munajat, a supplication to Allah. We are supplicating to Allah in Surah Al-Fatiha, because we are making a request from Allah. It is called Surah Al-Tahmeed, when we entrust ourselves to Allah. When we entrust our every single thing into the hands of Allah and say, oh Allah, I may need many things in this life, but me, I'm not going to ask anyone except you, O Allah. Iyyaka nasta'in. And O Allah, I have to bow my hand in this world, and I have to fall prostrate to someone who is great. But me, I am not going to fall prostrate to anyone except you. Iyyaka na'budu. Only you, O Allah. So it is Surah Al-Tafriz. It is called Surah Al-Sawal, the Surah of asking. It is called Ummul Kitab, the foundation, the mother of the book. And it is also called Fatihatul Quran. Fatihatul Quran, the opening of the Quran. And it is called Surah Al-Salat. It is such a great surah that Surah Al-Fatiha itself is called Salat. Surah Al-Salat.
And that is based on a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah has stated, hadith reported in Nasa'i by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, Allah says, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَنَّ عَبْدِي. I have divided salah between me and my servant. And the salah that is referred to here is Fatiha. That I have divided Surah Al-Fatiha between me and my servant, Allahu Akbar. Listen to this hadith. A very beautiful hadith. To show us how great Surah Al-Fatiha is in the sight of Allah, that anytime we recite a verse, Allah is replying to the verse, Allahu Akbar. Allah is replying to the verse. So what does the hadith of Qudsi say? The hadith says, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِي. I have divided Surah Al-Fatiha, which is called Salat, between me and my servant, in halves. فَنِصْفُهَا لِي. So half of it is for me. وَنِصْفُهَا لِعَبَدِي. And half of it is for my servant, Allahu Akbar. So all my servant, you recite it, half is for me and half is for you. وَلِعَبَدِي مَا سَأَلَى. And for my servant is whatever he asked for, Allahu Akbar. The Prophet says, that Allah says, فَإِذَا قَالَ عَبَدِي. So when my servant say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. When my servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praises are due to Allah. يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُ. Allah says and replies to that first ayah, حَمِدَنِي عَبَدِي. My servant has praised me. Allahu Akbar. My servant has praised me. فَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ. When the servant says, الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. When the servant says, most gracious, most merciful, يَقُولُ الْعَبْدُ يَقُولُ الرَّبُّ. Our Lord says, أَثْمَانًا يَعْبَدِي. My servant has commanded me. Allahu Akbar. My servant has commanded me. That's the second verse. فَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُّ. Majrani abdi. And when the servant says, Maliki yawmiddin, O Allah, you are the master of the day of judgment. Yaqul Allah, Allah says, Majrani abdi. My servant has surely glorified me. Allahu Akbar. Look at it. For everything the servant say, Allah is replying. Allah is replying. فَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. And when my servant says, Oh Allah, you alone we worship, and you alone do we seek help from. يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Allah the mighty and the wise and the great says, هَذِهِ الْآيَةُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبَدِي. This verse is between me and my servant. Huh? This verse is between me and my servant. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَى. And for my servant, it's whatever he asks for. Why? Because the servant is saying, only you I will ask help from. And I will ask from you. So Allah is saying, okay, O my servant, let me hear whatever you are asking for, I will give it to you. Because we, Allahu Akbar, it is a great affirmation and conviction. When you can come to someone and say, Oh Allah, I have left the whole world aside only for you alone, Oh Allah. And I may be in the worst times, with the sword of my throat and the gun at my head, I am not going to stoop to no one except you, O Allah. There is no greater conviction and affirmation of our belief to Allah than that. And that is what we say to Allah in this surah. فَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ. When the servant says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. When the servant says that, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Allah says, فَهَاُولَٰئِ لِعَبْدِي. All these things my servant is asking for, he will surely get it. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَى. And for my servant is whatever he asks for. Whatever he asks for, he will get it. Another hadith reported by Imam Nasa'i from Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. He says, Ibn Abbas says, بَيْنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَعِنْدَهُ جِبْرِيلُ. Once the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was there, and Jibreel عليه السلام was with him. إِسْ سَمْيَ نَقِيبًا.
when suddenly they heard a very hard sound and a hard noise. فوقه above them. فرفع جبريل بصره إلى السماء. So that time Jibreel عليه السلام lifted his head and he looked upwards.
فقال, when he looked upwards, he said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, هذا باب قد فتح من السماء ما فتح قط. This is a door that has been opened from the heavens today, and never before it has been opened. A door has been opened today. فنزل منه ملك, an angel then descended from it. فأتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the angel came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the angel said, أبشر بنورين, receive glad tidings of two lights, two nur. One, قد أوتيتهما لم يؤتها نبي قبلك. You have been given these two lights. No Nabi before you has been given these two lights. Fatihatul Kitab, Suratul Fatiha, and the ending verses of Suratul Baqarah. So, this also speaks about the greatness, the fadilat and virtue of Suratul Fatiha. And the more we recite it is the more we ask from Allah. And the hadith of the Prophet tells us, whenever we say these verses of Surah Fatiha, Allah replies to them. And at the end of it, what does Allah say? وَلِعَبْدِ مَا سَأَلَى, and for my servant is what he